I think one of the biggest issues is parents think that this is not normal. Oh, no, they must have something wrong with them. No, it's very, very normal. They're not comfortable to have a kid yelling at you or screaming or throwing or hitting or biting other kids. They are normal behaviors. And I think it's hard for parents to understand that that behavior is communicating something. It is just that they can't cope with that situation, or they're overwhelmed, or it's a sensory issue. There could be lots of other things triggering it.
Is your child's challenging behavior leaving you feeling exhausted, defeated, and hopeless? You are not alone. And I want you to know you are not a failure and your child is not broken. Welcome to Calm the Chaos Parenting, the podcast for parents raising strong-willed, highly sensitive, or neurodivergent children. I'm Dana Abraham, parenting expert, and I have helped hundreds of thousands of families just like yours. Each week, I'll share simple science-backed solutions to help you feel more grounded, in tune, and deeply connected to your child, no matter what challenge you face. Start your journey from surviving to thriving as a family at calmthechaospodcast.com.
Hey, 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 and welcome back to the Calm the Chaos Parenting Podcast. I am so excited to be joined by an online friend of mine that I've been following for years and years and years and have really been a huge fan of. I absolutely love her Facebook page, her Instagram, and I think many of you guys have probably liked or shared some of her content and maybe not realized it or have followed her. But I'm super excited to talk today because we're going to be talking about when our kids have those big behaviors, and we have kids who have lots of big feelings, big emotions, and it comes out in yelling and screaming and hitting. And we might know what's under the surface a little bit, but we're not sure what to do with those big behaviors. And so I'm super excited to have Kristen Tapperell here today, the therapist parent. And Kristen, welcome. I'm so excited you're here.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm so excited. And as I was saying before we got on, I was going to put your book behind me so that it could be on display the whole time. It's Guidance from the Therapist Parent, and it is beautiful. I absolutely love it. It's such a great toolkit, and I love the way it's spaced out. I love the pictures and the charts and everything in here. This is a fantastic resource for those of you that are listening or watching this. Definitely go pick up her book. Kristen, talk to me before we dive in a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Okay. So I'm a psychologist, and I have worked with children and families over 20 years now. And that's mainly been my focus as children and families. I work in a rural community, like I'm in the country. Well, I've just moved states, but still in the country. And I realized that there's not a lot of services. There's long waiting lists. And often parents just need a little bit of support and a little bit of information. So that's when the therapist parent came up. So that's where I first wrote a children's book and then other products and then now this book. And that's where it's come from.
I love it. And what are some of the most common things that people were coming to you with or challenges that parents were bringing to you?
Yeah, so mainly I think it comes that parents struggle with their kids' behaviors, like the big behaviors, and they're really, really hard. But a lot of the time they're very normal. And it was just giving parents that information that this is normal development. Kids are supposed to do this. It's our job to help them through, yeah. But this isn't abnormal. This isn't a diagnosis. This is just tricky behaviors that all kids have. Mm. And so I think that's the main thing. I felt like I was saying the same thing all the time when people would come in. This is okay. This is just their brain's developing. They're just really emotional because this is all they've got at the moment. We need to give them the tools.
Mm. I love that. And your book is chocked full of tools, and we're going to be talking about some of those. But before we get into that, what are some of the biggest misconceptions that you find parents come to you with when we're talking about these big behaviors? Hitting, kicking, screaming, yelling, throwing, spitting, lying. Those are some of the big ones I think of when I think of big behaviors.
Yeah. I think one of the biggest issues is parents think that this, like I said, is not normal, that this, oh no, they must have something wrong with them. No, it's very, very normal. And yeah, okay, they're not comfortable. they're not comfortable to have a kid yelling at you or screaming or throwing or hitting or biting other kids. Oh, that's a hard one. You know, they are normal behaviors. And I think it's hard for parents to understand that that behavior is communicating something. So whether it's anxiety or whether it is just that they can't cope with that situation or they're overwhelmed or it's a sensory issue, there could be lots of other things triggering it. That behavior is just to tell you, I want this to stop. Mm. I don't like what's happening. I need it to stop. Mm. And yeah, maybe it's not the best way to say that, but they don't have the words for that yet. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think it's helping parents see that that's just surface behavior. There's a lot going on underneath.
And what I find from a lot of parents is they'll say, okay, that's great. All behavior is communication. I can get behind that. However, I'm not okay with it communicating the way it's communicating, or now that I know what it's communicating, what the heck am I supposed to do with it? So what would you say to a parent that's lost in this sea of information at that point?
Absolutely. And that's true. There is so much. And then in that moment, it's very hard to think of that because we get triggered as well. So first things first is looking at your own reactions and triggers and why that's really bothering you. What's happened? Were you not allowed to do that as a child? So when you see your child doing it, I can't have this happening. Or is it triggering an anxiety response for you? What's happening? Because if you can't stay calm, you're not going to be able to help them. So number one is always check yourself. And if you need to take a break, and this is what something that parents also think that they have to be in control and on top of things. No, if you need to take a break, that's okay. So if you say, hey, I'm about to lose it, I need to go and take some time out. Mum needs time out. Off we go. Not a supporter of time out, but I am for parents. Then go and do that.
I'm all for a healthy break. All for it.
Again. That's exactly right. So having that break, working on what you need to do to calm so that you can think clearly, because that's the thing. Parents are like, my child, they're not logical. They're just, okay, but you're not logical either because you're triggered. So understanding that that's how the brain works. If you're triggered, if you're in that fight flight response, you're not going to think clearly. You're not going to be the parent you want to be. Take a break. Do what you need to calm. Come back. Nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. Perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of parents can feel guilty that they've been reacted. No, we all do. It's okay. Just manage it.
Yeah. And so what would be your number one suggestion for someone who feels like they hear you say that and they know they should remain calmer, they should take breaks, but they're really struggling? Would it be that digging under the surface and saying, like, why is this bothering you so much? Or do you have another tool that parents can use to help them remain calm?
I think you do need to go through and work out. And that's why in my book, actually, there's activities, but there's deep dive questions. And so in the trigger part, there are questions for parents to actually ask themselves and work through to see why this, and it's amazing. Once you realize, it's much easier to manage. Mm-hmm. But when we're just responding, then you can't do much about it. But as soon as you realize, oh, my dad used to do that, now I'm doing it, it's much easier to go, hang on, I really want to change that. And as soon as it's a conscious decision, yeah, you're still going to do it, but you're more aware of it. Mm-hmm. So yes, doing that. But having your little tools to help calm. Everybody's different for what calming. Breathing is generally going to help because that's just a physiological reaction. If we slow our breathing down, our body will calm. So having your favorite breathing techniques on hand when you need them, and make sure you use them.
What's your favorite one? I have a favorite, but I'm curious what your favorite breathing, especially when you're really heightened and struggling to get your body ready.
Yeah. If I'm just like driving in the car, when kids go crazy in the car, it's just to be really aware of my breath and to slow it down. Mm. But if I was really anxious about something, I'd sit and trace my finger and breathe. And I find a lot of kids like that one too, because it feels nice.
Yeah.
And it slows because you breathe in, hold it, breathe out, I like that. Hold it, breathe in, and then go up around your finger. What's yours?
I think it is hand to heart. So I really love to put my hand on my heart because it's just like a big old hug. And so then just taking a big deep breath in. And I feel like I can do that. Another one I do when there are really, really big behaviors, like when my son used to hit and kick me and he would yell, "I hate you." I found that a pressure point in between my thumb and my forefinger, if I squeezed that while breathing in, I could do that while he's like yelling at me. And it just diverted my attention and energy into my own body instead of really paying attention. Like instead of focusing so much on what he was doing, I was able to enter
back in you. That's really good. I like that.
So those are my two favorites. All right. So we talked about breath. We talked about the importance of the parent themselves being able to realize and love that you mentioned, not just remain calm. Because I think so many parents, they don't know why they can't remain calm. And so often it is that trigger underneath the surface for themselves. And it is something they grew up with or something that is reminding them that they weren't allowed to speak out of turn or that they were called names. And so when their little one calls the sibling a name, it brings up all these emotions. So I love that you mentioned that. It's such a great way for parents to get clear on how can I actually use these tools and not get so heightened? So I love that. So you, before we go into some more tools for what to do about that behavior, I know you talk so much, just like I do, about building a strong connection with our kids before we start creating tools and teaching our kids. And so can you talk just a little bit, especially when we're dealing with these big behaviors, what are some ways that we can start building that connection back up, especially if we're resentful of the behaviors our kids have had or the way our kids have treated us? I hear from a lot of parents that they feel like they can just never give enough to their kids. And what would you say to a parent that might be struggling with that connection piece?
Yeah, that's really hard. I think, again, you got to look at yourself, because if there is the thing that you're resentful about, making, not just being so reactionary about that, think about it. Okay, I'm really resentful that they said these things, or they don't appreciate everything that I do for them. Or, and then bring that into the conscious, well, okay, challenge it a bit. Is that reasonable? This is a child. Should they really be that appreciative? Did they really mean it? I mean, it felt like they did, but if we think about it, no, probably not. And once you work through that a bit yourself, and then take it from their perspective, and you go, okay, so what were they really feeling? Why did they feel they had to do that? That's really, for them to have said that or done that, that must have felt really bad. And then we have a little bit more compassion. And once you start to step from the reaction of feeling resentful to compassion, it's a little bit easier to walk into that connection with your child, then it's a matter of helping them see that you're on their side. So acknowledge it. You don't have to accept the behavior that this is okay if they're hitting you, and that's not okay, but you can accept the feeling and you can accept that they felt bad. So you go, gosh, that must have felt terrible for you. I understand. That must have felt really awful. It's really hard when I say no to that. I get it. Nobody likes it. I don't like it when I can't do what I want to do either. So you're validating that feeling. You're giving that understanding so that you're together again. And once the child then feels, oh, hang on a sec, they actually get it, then they don't feel like they have to show you as much too. And that's when behaviors can come out, because they have to prove that they have this feeling. You don't believe me that it's this bad. So once there's that connection there and everybody's on the same page, and look, you're allowed to say that behavior is, it's not safe. That's not a way that we speak to each other. It's really hurtful. It's okay to have that genuine conversation. You don't blame them and say, you did this and that made me feel terrible and you're not allowed to do that. But you can say, oh, look, there's better ways to do it. What else do you think we could do? And then that collaboration, working together, that helps the relationship as well. So, okay, I maybe didn't deal with that the best way. I'm not sure. I don't like the way that you did that either. What else could we do next time together? Not just you did this. What else could we do? Could I do something differently? Maybe I'd like you to speak a bit differently. Or if you're feeling like that, what else could we do before it gets to that stage? Work it out together. It's a really important skill for them to learn. and it's helpful for you, and it keeps the relationship. There's no break in the relationship, and it mends when there has been. Mm-hmm.
And would you suggest having this conversation right in the heat of the moment when your kid's yelling?
No.
I just want to clarify for anyone listening.
No way. So like we said before, if they're in fight, flight, freeze mode, there is no logical conversation going to happen in that state. That part of the brain completely switched off, only emotions. You're only going to escalate. So whatever you do, what you need to do to calm in that state. And that's, I often say to parents, I don't know what calm looks like for your child. So that might be a hug, but they may like, get the hell away from me. That's okay too. Being available is good. Them going and jumping on the trampoline might be the best way to calm, or kicking a ball or whatever. Whatever needs to happen to calm, when everyone's calm, that's when you have the conversation. And you know what? It may not even be the same day. Parents are like, I have to do this.
Thank you for sharing that. I find people want to go into the conversation as soon as there's like a breath. It's like, okay, let's solve this now. It's like, no. Like, you're still dysregulated inside. Even if on the outside, yeah, you look okay.
Yeah. And I don't know about you. When I've tried to do that, and we've all done it, yeah, I might say the right things, but my tone is not right.
Yeah,
I hear those words coming out. I'm saying all the right things, but
I was on a coaching call with someone just before we hopped on, and I had told you about it a little bit. Maybe we can dissect some of it. She was saying that her 5-year-old just screams like top of his lungs anytime something doesn't go his way or he's frustrated. He doesn't use any words. He just screams. And she's like, I've tried talking to him and I've tried getting on his level and I've tried saying, I hear that you're frustrated. And so we went through a few things that we could do. And I said, okay, let's try to like not talk. And she's like, whoa, well, what's going to happen if I don't talk? And then finally we got to the point of, if you have to say anything, you could say, I hear you. It's hard. This is hard. Mm-hmm. I hear you. I'm listening. And she looked at me and she goes, you know what? I think I am saying these things, but I'm not saying it the way you just said it. I'm angry. I'm frustrated. I was like, you're human. Of course you didn't say it that way.
Exactly. And that's what I want parents to realize is we all do it. And even us, like, we've probably got more practice, so yes, we can get it. But there are times my tone is not right and I need to go and take that break and deal with it later. That's where practice comes in. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay that we don't get it right all the time. You come back and you mend the relationship and you do it again. We're all learning.
Yeah.
And we will continue to learn. It's not something that you just get and then parenting, oh, it's easy now. No, it's always got challenges.
Parent of an 18 and 16 year old over here, like, it doesn't ever get, it just gets different. It just like changes.
That's right. Yeah. As soon as you start to think you've got something sorted, they change. So you just roll with it.
Yeah.
Dana here, and guess what? My book, Calm the Chaos, has officially launched. So if you enjoy the podcast and find the stuff we're sharing valuable, I'm 100% sure you're going to love the book. You can get your copy at calmthechaosbook.com. And if you use this link, you'll also get some special bonuses. So once again, the link is calmthechaosbook.com. Thanks. I hope you're enjoying the show.
So talk to me about, what do we do, right? What do we set boundaries? Do we set rules and regulations? Like, how do we get them to change the behavior now that we know that how it's acting? And now I kind of like set you up because I know the answer to this, but I know that that's what a lot of parents are asking is, what do we do when we know, we think we know why the behavior is happening, and now we want to get it to stop? What do we do now?
Yeah, that's what I often say to parents. It's not going to stop instantly. This is where the coaching comes in. This is in the practice. And that's when I often explain to parents, a child doesn't learn to read instantly or tie their shoes or ride a bike. It takes lots of practice and lots of repetition. So continually doing all those things that we've talked about, helping them recognize the feeling, validating the feeling, coaching them through, helping them calm, that's what works. And that's what builds those pathways in the brain for them to be able to do it later. But they're not going to do it right now because they can't, and that's where they need us. So it's just that repetition. Some little activities and things that you can do with little kids and even older kids if they're willing, but role play is really great. Mm-hmm. The kids love it It's fun for them. Parents tend to hate it, but it works because they practice it. And you can say, let's practice, let's play that we're really upset. And what do we do? And play out what could we do next? And the more fun you make it and get them involved and throw out different scenarios, oh, but what if your sister did this? You're getting them to think through. You're getting them to actually play it out and practice. And that helps. So doing it, talking to them afterwards, yes, coaching them through in the moment, but then have some fun ways to do it as well.
And earlier you mentioned that anxiety might be under some of these big behaviors that we're seeing, even the screaming earlier that we talked about. Once we know that anxiety or big feelings are part of what's causing some of these behaviors or what's causing these behaviors, are there any tools that you walk parents through that they can help their kids build that emotional regulation, emotional intelligence? And I know you have in your book. So.
Yeah. And I've tried to put as many practical tools in the book as possible. And they're all things that I would teach a parent in therapy, but you don't necessarily need to go to lots and lots of therapy to have these tools. They're just activities to help kids understand their feelings and what to do with them. And there's other stuff for parents as well. When it comes to anxiety, anxiety is a really overwhelming feeling and it feels awful. And for a child, that is all consuming and really quite scary. They're often not very connected with their bodies. So it goes from 0 to 100 really quickly because they miss, you know, all the little steps along the way. So I like to teach children to recognize how it actually feels. What does your heart do? What does your tummy do? What do your muscles feel like? So them being connected to their body. So like in the book, I've got how to draw that out with your child, and you can do it with them. Like just draw out, what does that feel like? Oh yeah, that feels really yucky when that happens. Which bit do you think happens first? And then helping them recognize how they can calm. So lots of breathing exercises, lots of other activities that help. And like I said before, what calms one child is not going to calm another one. So find what that works and then get them to feel what that is like. And even doing things like getting them to run on the spot for a few minutes and then their heart starts racing and then do some breathing and then feel that it calms down. So you're really connecting in to their body. And then it depends what it is that they're anxious about. But it's important to help them not to dismiss it. Oh, that doesn't matter. Or, oh, don't be silly. You've got friends at school. It's okay. And as much as we try and help our child by saying things like that, it's not, because it's telling them that that anxiety's not real and that they don't need to worry. Sure, the anxiety's there. You're not going to make it bigger by acknowledging it. It's already there. So, yeah, it can be really scary to go to school. I understand that. And we still need to go. So what can we do then to help? And then brainstorming. I always come back to that. If you get kids involved, they're more likely to do it. Get them involved in the brainstorming. You come up with ideas together. Let them choose which one they want to try. There's things in the book for separation anxiety. It might be taking something of mum's with them and then giving it back in the afternoon. Or if it's a big worry, so there's an activity where we've got worry bags and you actually get them to work out, actually, is this my worry or is this mum's worry? And then physically put them in bags so that they don't feel like they have to carry.
I could have used that as a child. I did not learn that I was carrying other people's emotions or feelings until I was, I don't know, a year ago. I was today. It was recent that I realized how much my worry, my fear, my self-doubt, my sadness even sometimes was other people's. And when I work with so many people online, I could even feel it through the internet. Like I could feel it in our group sometimes. And I'd be like, why am I so down today? And I was like, oh, that's not me. That's not me being down. That's like all of these amazing parents who are struggling today. So man, that is a beautiful exercise, this worry bag. So can you walk us through that one in particular?
Yeah,
that could be really powerful.
Yeah. It's particularly helpful if there's conflict going on in the family or there's separation and things like that. But so I get the child to or even just use envelopes if you haven't got anything and write mom, dad, siblings, whoever, on them. And I even usually make one that's either God or universe, because there are worries that we have no control over and we need to be aware. I had a kid that, yeah, he was, there's never been a quake where we were, but that was one of the things that he was really worried about. That's not his worry. They had a belief in God, so we were like, that's God's worry, that one. We're going to give that one over. So you have a bag for everybody, and then you write out all the worries, and they can be little worries, they can be big worries, and then cut them out and literally put them in the bags. Okay, so I'm thinking of one particular child. Parents were separated, worrying that dad was going to be lonely when they weren't there. Okay, that's not your worry. That's a grown-up worry. Dad's a big boy. He can cope with that. That's his worry. And just handing them out, and something about physically putting them in the bags and realizing, oh, that's separate to me. And then you go through the bags and you can go, okay, wow, I've only got a couple of worries. And it's just like making sure I do my homework and putting the rubbish out. Mm-hmm. That's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that so much. Where were you when I was growing up? My goodness. For sure. I was the emotional kid growing up. I was the one who had a lot of anxiety, a lot of big emotions. And it came out as big volatile behaviors with my mom. Like I yelled at her a lot. Yeah. I never hit or did any of those things, but I was a yeller. That's for sure. I could have used a lot of these growing up. And so I'm so thankful that we have resources like you and this book that can help parents now navigate this. And I just think of the world, where it's going to be when these kids grow up and they're adults and they were raised from infancy on with this consciousness and this knowing and understanding of themselves. It just makes me all excited. It's like why I do.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for being a part of that. I lost my train of thought. I was going somewhere. I just had a brain toot. Sometimes my brain just stops working. Oh, I know what I was going to ask. You have an incredibly popular Instagram and Facebook page, and sometimes you'll put quotes or images out on your page and they'll go viral. They'll have thousands and thousands of shares. Do you have one that no matter when you share it, it just connects? It just is, I'm sure you've got quite a few, but that comes to mind. Mm-hmm. And I know you've put several of them throughout the book. And that's why I asked, like those, is there something that really resonates every time you share it?
Often ones about respect, when we have this cultural idea that children are supposed to respect parents, and quite often adults aren't respecting children. So yeah, often if I put a post up about the fact that we need to show respect to children, and that respect is something that we teach them by respecting them, they often, yeah, because I think it's a whole mind shift that a lot of us grew up thinking that, well, kids just have to do what they're told, and that's respect. It's not really respect. And by us teaching kids that we need to be aware of other people and other people's feelings and treating them well, then we have to do that to them too.
I love that so much. Yeah. What would that look like the way we were taught growing up? You said doing what we're told, doing exact listening, doing it the first time. That's what it looked like to do respect. But teaching respect was, we had very strict rules, and if you didn't abide by them, you got grounded, or you had things taken away from you, you were punished. I was raised in a family where I was spanked. And what would you say is the opposite of that now, if we're wanting to teach respect and show our kids respect? How can we show our kids respect?
Like I said, like respecting the fact that they have emotions and that it's okay, and we teach them how to express them. That's respectful. Shutting them down is disrespectful. And when you're talking about the punishment side of things, that's not really teaching them anything. Discipline is teaching. When we want children to learn how to manage these emotions, and of course we want them to follow rules. Rules are there to keep them safe. That's what we need them to understand. So they need to understand behind it, not just blindly or mindlessly follow rules. No, there's a reason for them. And the reason is that we want to keep you safe. So we have to keep this rule. So even just explaining is respectful. And then, yeah, like punishments, I understand parents' frustrations and they want to do the right thing and they want to teach them. But punishment only makes the child feel bad and probably resentful, and not teaching them why we want the behavior to change, why it's important to change, and then involving them in that is respect.
I love that. I could talk to you all day long. I love everything about what you do and everything you've shared here. So thank you so much for being so open and sharing your time. Before you go, I have one question I like to ask everyone that comes on the podcast. And that is, if you were sitting in front of a parent right now and you only had 1 or 2 minutes, and this parent is a parent of a kid with really big emotions, really big challenging behaviors, and they're just at their wit's end, what is the one thing you want them to hear?
I want them to hear that their child is not doing this on purpose to hurt them, that their child is doing the best that they can with what they've got at the moment. I want them to understand that it is hard and that they're doing a good job. They just need to take a step back and look at what's really happening and not take it so personally, which I know is very difficult.
Thank you so much. Is there anything else you want to share that I haven't asked about that's just on your heart or that maybe I missed?
No, I don't think so. I just hope that it comes across that none of this is judging parents. I do understand parenting is hard. It's just to give them a different perspective and a few little things to help out.
Yeah, and remind everyone where they can get more information and your amazing book with all of these phenomenal tools, non-judgmental tools. Where can people find out more?
So my social media, so The Therapist Parent, so Facebook and Instagram, my website, thetherapistparent.com, and Amazon, because I'm in Australia, so you're probably going to want to order where there's cheaper postage on Amazon.
Awesome. And we are going to link to all of those in the show notes of today's episode. And for everyone listening, I just want to remind you, just like Kristen said, you're doing a good job and you can do this, right? None of this is judgmental. And just take that big, deep breath, take that step, and just know that you're not alone, that this is hard and you can get through this. And if this episode resonated with you in any way, please reach out to Kristen, to myself, let us know. Say, this episode really helped me. I was able to take something away. And if you found a next step that you're going to start implementing immediately, please let us know. It helps us know how we're helping you. And it just lights us up when we hear from you. With that, I just want to remind everyone that you are exactly the parent that your child needs. Your child is not broken and you're definitely not alone. I will talk to you next week on Calm the Chaos Parenting. Bye guys.
Oh, and before I go, one quick note for all of you who are enjoying the podcast. My new book is officially live, and I know you're going to love it. So just a quick reminder, you can go get your copy at calmthechaosbook.com. And if you do, you'll get some cool bonuses as well. Once again, get your copy at calmthechaosbook.com, and I'll see you next week.